Headshot by Black Randall 1958. This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network, which includes the Erotica Podcast, Erotica Sci-Fi and Fantasy, Erotica Loving Wives, and the Spotify podcast Erotica Taboo Podcast for more intense sexual themes. Both the Erotica Podcast and the Erotica Taboo Podcast offer $2 subscriptions, which opens up bonus content. Links for everything are in the podcast description. This podcast contains mature content and is intended for an adult audience only. It contains explicit words, thoughts, and ideas. The content of all stories is fiction, with any similarities to real people or events being purely coincidental. This podcast is not intended for anything but entertainment of the listener, and if you do not agree with the themes listed in the tags, please do not listen to the story. All characters engaging in sexual relationships or activities are 18 years old or older. This story was found on a free website and brought to audio form here. I did not write and take no credit for this story. Please visit the link in the comments to further support this author. Sometimes a guy needs a 2x4 alongside the head to wake him up. I never thought I'd enjoy the experience. Life surprises you. It had been a pretty bad day. First, Sylvia was not happy with me before I left to go to the job site. We were out of coffee and she's cranky without her morning cup. I had forgotten to get it the night before. I ran down to the convenience store and got us both a cup. One of the cups collapsed when I was putting the lid on, and coffee spilled on my pants. It was hot as hell and I skipped around for a minute. The hot chick getting a cappuccino thought it was pretty funny. I was considerably less amused. I got another cup and managed to get the lid on this one. She was still cranky. After being married to her for 11 years, I knew enough to just stay out of her way. I ran upstairs and changed my pants. Peyton yelled at me that she was going to be late. I came out and nearly ran her over in the hall. "Daddy, watch where you're going," she complained. I grabbed her up and kissed her while she squealed in protest. 7-year-old girls only like being kissed when they want to be kissed. She really liked it, though. She just pretended not to like it. I liked it a lot, and I felt better. We went down, and I packed her lunch. Sylvia came rushing through and gave me a peck, squeezed Peyton, and swirled out the door. I dropped Peyton at school and went to work. I own a waterproofing company. If you want to build a building and don't want water coming in the basement, or the parts that touch the earth, you should give me a call. Do it before you build it. I don't clean up other people's mistakes. Someone, not me, had ordered the supplies and we were short. I would have to scramble around, borrow from another job, and try to get some ordered. I left the crew there and went to another job. My foreman there was having some personal problems. I thought I was helping him, but if he didn't get his act together, he was going to find himself back on hourly as just another worker. It's hard to kick a man while he's down, but he needed to get it together. I had a talk with him and went to the last job. They were supposed to have been ready for us 2 days earlier, but there had been complications. Now I was paying a crew to sit around and watch plumbers and electricians. I told the GC I was going to start charging him for my crews sitting around. He wasn't happy, but neither was I. When I got to the office, Addie had called in and said she was going to be late. Addie is my partner. She's never late, and I needed to talk to her. I got my second cup of coffee and sat in my office to fume a bit. She came breezing in about 30 minutes later. She came in, sat across the desk, and smiled at me. I glanced at my watch, and she threw back her head and laughed. That always sends a thrill through me. I've been friends with Addie since we were in the 5th grade. I just moved to Baton Rouge. It was the middle of the school year, and my father had been transferred there. I was walking across the playground, getting ready for my second day of school. I'd noticed a little redhead that sat behind me. She was stick-thin, had freckles and big green eyes. She wore braces and glasses, and seemed really shy. There were 2 6th graders talking to her. There was some utility work going on, and they had an open ditch about 2 feet deep with some muddy water in it going across the playground. She was trying to walk away and the 2 boys were moving to get in front of her. They were crowding her toward that ditch and she was teetering on the edge. She had a book in one hand and her bag in the other. She gave one of the guys a hell of a pop in the face with her book, and the other one pushed her into the ditch. She fell in the mud and he started laughing. She was crying, and it made my blood boil. I hate bullies. I charged into them, knocking one of them into the ditch with the girl, and the other one down on the ground. I kicked him in the belly and he went flat, his mouth open, sucking wind. I got on top of him, and I was beating the hell out of him when 2 teachers came running up. The girl was crying and trying to get the mud off her legs. We all went to the office. By the time the story got straight, I got 3 days of detention, the 2 boys got suspended for 3 days, and Addison Taylor was my friend for life. She was a late bloomer, but by the time we started college at LSU, she was no longer a stick. The braces had gone away, leaving her with a spectacular smile. She was tall, contacts had replaced the glasses, no longer hiding those gorgeous eyes, and she was smoking hot. That flaming hair hung in ropes of fire down to the tightest ass you've ever seen. Her breasts got big and firm, and she was just a vision. We dated, briefly, our sophomore year of college, and it had been pretty steamy for a while. Then we had an argument, and didn't speak to each other for a week. She showed up at the house one day after class, and we worked it out. We decided that we worked better as best friends, and that neither one of us wanted to risk our friendship by becoming something else. We hugged it out, and that was it. She did our estimating, sold our services, and handled the accounting end of things. I handled the crews and all the production side. We were still best friends. After she was through laughing, she told me that she owned half the company, and she would damn well show up anytime she pleased. She softened that by coming around and giving me a hug. I stopped by Friendly Supply and they're going to deliver 200 gallons of waterproofing. She said that I should have known. She stayed on top of things. Sylvia called. She said, "We're meeting you guys at Perrine's at 7. Who's we?" I asked. "His name is Lucas." She said, "You've never met him." "Jesus, Sadie, don't you ever date the same guy twice?" I asked. She laughed again. "Sometimes," she said. "You're not going to like him, Calloway." "Why not?" I asked. "If I'm not going to like him, why are you bringing him?" "Well, he's a lot like you," she said. "He's tall, dark, and handsome, and he has kind of an attitude." "I don't have an attitude," I objected. "Of course you do." She patted my shoulder. "If you were any more cocky and confident, I'd want to murder you. I'm surprised Sylvia hasn't. Anyway, don't start a fight with him, okay?" "Whatever," I said. "Do you know the last time I was in a fight?" "Yes, as a matter of fact, I do." She winked at me. "We were juniors in high school and Caden Rayleigh said I was a bitch and left me at the prom. You kicked his ass down at the lake the next day." I hadn't known she was aware of that. I blushed. "Well, he was an asshole," I said. "You might think that about Lucas too, so don't get all bent out of shape if he says or does something stupid," she said. "I'll be on my best behavior." I told her that I put out brush fires the rest of the day and by the time I went home, I needed a drink. My mom had picked Peyton up and she was spending the weekend with her grandmother. Sylvia came in after a bit. She came over and gave me a kiss. I pulled her down on my lap and she squealed. Sylvia is this stunning blonde that looks like she just stepped off the plane from some Scandinavian country. She tans well, and she had been spending some time in the sun. Her hair was bleached out nearly white, and her smile lit her face up like a camera flash. She's tall and curvy, and she was wearing her hair in a big braid that curled around her head. She was so beautiful it made my heart hurt. You'd think she was a stereotypical blonde bimbo by looking at her. She's the perfect picture of a trophy wife. You'd be wrong. She's a spitfire. There is a complex and highly intelligent mind behind those baby blue eyes. She has a temper and she's a dynamo that never runs out of energy. Sylvia is a psychologist with a PhD and she works at a community mental health center. She pushed her cute little nose up against mine. "Hi, baby," she whispered. She gave me a kiss that made my ears smoke. "Sorry about being a bitch this morning. If you come home and kiss me like that, I'm going to throw away the coffee I bought," I told her. "Peyton's not here." She nibbled on my ear. "Want to fool around?" I pushed her back over on the sofa. "We've only got about an hour," I told her. "Let's see how many times you can make me come in an hour," she said. "I'm betting on 4 for me and 2 for you. Doesn't seem fair," I told her. "How come you get more than me?" "I'm a woman," she said, as if that explained everything. She did get her 4, and maybe 5 or 6 before we ran out of time. I was stuck on 2. We jumped in the shower and I nearly got going for number 3, washing that spectacular Valkyrie body, but she laughed and pushed by me. I watched her dry off and thought about how much I love this goddess. She snapped me with her towel and told me to get my ass in gear. I groaned. I wanted to just stay home and fuck her, but Addie would be upset. Addie and Sylvia are as close as sisters in a lot of ways. I had introduced them on our third date. Sylvia was sort of jealous at first, but it's impossible not to love Addie and now they were very close. Sylvia understood our relationship and there really wasn't a jealous bone in her body. I know she felt confident in our marriage and she knew I would never, ever, hurt her by stepping out on her, even with Addie, had we been so inclined. We met Lucas and Addie at Perrine's. It's this wonderful seafood place and we eat there a good bit. Addie was right. I didn't like Lucas right away. He did look a little like me, but I had nothing like his opinion of myself. I didn't like the way he had his hands all over Addie, although that was none of my business. I've never been much into public displays of affection. She didn't seem to mind. I also didn't like the way his eyes were all over Sylvia and that was my business. He knew I had busted him looking at her cleavage. He just grinned and shrugged, like, "Who can blame me?" I guess he was right about that. I was the only one that caught that. He made all the right noises over dinner. Addie really seemed to like him, and that gave him a big boost in my eyes. He hit it off with Sylvia too. The food was great, and we had a couple of drinks. Addie wanted to go to a club afterward and we decided on Clicks. They had a live band called Better Than Ezra playing. We played a game of darts and shot some pool. Addison wanted to dance and she took Lucas off. Sylvia and I sat and watched for a minute. "Dance with me, Cal." She turned that absolutely lovely face up toward me and flashed me that million candle power smile. I pulled her up and we gyrated a bit. The song ended and they started a slow ballad. This was more my speed and Sylvia was all over me. She turned her back and that amazing ass was grinding my, suddenly, rock-hard cock. I turned her back around and, surreptitiously, filled my hand with one big breast. Her nipple was rock-hard and I felt her hand slide down and grab my ass. She pulled me in so she could grind her pussy against my erection. I nearly came in my pants. The song ended and I felt a tap on my shoulder. It was Addie. "Switch?" she asked Sylvia. This was going to be awkward. They started another song, and wouldn't you know it, it was another slow one. Addie and Sylvia changed places and I had another beautiful woman molded against me. I tried to keep her from feeling my hard cock, but she was just as aggressive as Sylvia had been. She looked up at me and those green eyes blazed. "Hey there, big boy," she said. I remember you. She forced her pussy against my erection and ground on it a little. Jesus, Addison, I said. Sylvia is going to see you. She grinned very wickedly and one thigh moved between mine. She humped my leg, I swear. I wondered if there would be a wet spot on my pants. I think she's too busy to notice, Addie said. She nodded across the floor. It looked like Sylvia was as horny as Addison was. I could see the movements of her hips as she rubbed against Lucas, doing nearly the same thing to him Addie was doing to me. That was like a cold slap in the face. What was I doing? I disengaged and walked back to our booth, Addie trailing behind. What the hell, Cal? She said when we sat down. You can't just walk off and leave me like that. We were getting a little carried away there, Addie. I said. Best friends, remember? We drank some of our drinks and the next time I looked out at the floor, I saw Lucas' hands on Sylvia's ass, pulling her into him. She didn't seem to be resisting. I started sliding out and Addie jumped up and slid in beside me. Don't, Cal. She begged. You said you wouldn't make a scene. They aren't hurting anything. I'll let you feel my ass. As fun as that sounded, I wondered what the hell was going on. Was Addie wanting to let Lucas play with Sylvia in return for me playing with her? I was confused and feeling very weird. Are you telling me you're okay with letting your boyfriend feel up my wife? I asked her. Yeah, I'm okay with it. She said. Jesus, Calloway, do you imagine that she's going to fuck him out there on the dance floor? I'm pretty sure the silly girl is madly in love with you. Let her play. She'll go home with you in a bit and fuck your eyes out. Plus, you can feel me up. She took my hand and pulled it up to one fantastic breast, leaning into me so what we were doing was hidden to anyone not in our booth. She did have a hell of a point. I slid my hand up inside her loose blouse and into her bra, rolling one very erect nipple between my fingers. She moaned and I felt her hand on my cock. We played with each other's bodies until the song ended. She straightened up and I took my hand out of her blouse. Her fingers didn't leave my cock under the table and she didn't move. Sylvia and Lucas came back to the table. Sylvia just slid in on the other side of the booth and Lucas slid in beside her. Her eyes were blue fire. What are you naughty kids up to? She grinned at me. Pretty much the same thing you were. Addie matched her smile. I'm drunk as hell. No more alcohol for you boys, you're driving. She scooted over a little against me, rubbing one, obviously erect, nipple against my arm. I glanced over at Sylvia and she met my eyes. She made kissy lips at me. Obviously, she didn't care what Addie was doing with her husband. I wondered if she knew that Addison was tugging at my zipper. Her reaction would have been any different. Addie was saying something to me and I looked at her. She winked at me as her hand slid inside my boxers and wrapped around my painful erection. I heard a little gasp from Sylvia and glanced over at her. I couldn't tell for sure what was happening under the table, but from the position of his arm and the look on her face, Lucas had his hand on her pussy. She smiled at me and didn't make any move to stop him, so I didn't do anything. Addie's hand on my cock felt too good for me to think about anything else for a while. When some drunk chick bumped up against our table, I came to my senses. This was going to be awkward at work Monday. Addie, stop it. I whispered in her ear. We're going home. I'll talk to you Monday, okay? She pulled her hand out of my pants, zipped me up and patted my thigh. It's okay, Cal. She whispered back. Don't worry. I've always loved you and I always will. I love Sylvia too. Trust me, okay? I did trust her. I knew she'd never hurt me, or Sylvia, but this was so weirdly erotic and I didn't have a clue. Nothing remotely like this had happened in all the time I'd know her or been married to Sylvia. Syl. I prompted her. She started and I saw her hand move under the table, pushing Lucas' hand out from under her dress. It's getting late. I said. Time to go. She nodded and Lucas and Addison slid out. We walked out together and Addie kissed me as we parted to go to our cars. See you Monday. She said. Sylvia gave Lucas a peck, I shook his hand and we walked away. When we got in the car, I just sat there for a minute. She looked over at me. You okay to drive, Calloway? She asked. Yeah, I'm fine. I said. I decided to postpone our talk we were going to have until we got home. We were going to have a talk. It turns out that we didn't have that talk that night. She attacked me like a tiger the minute the garage door went down. I'd never seen her so on fire, and she did try to fuck my eyes out, just as Addie had promised. She was gone the next morning when I got up. I lounged around until about 10:30, just drinking coffee and reading a book. Sylvia came in and she looked gorgeous. She had on a green t-shirt and white shorts and I marveled again at my luck in being married to this amazing woman. She had two bags of groceries and I helped her put them away. She poured herself a cup of coffee and sat on my lap in my chair. Cal, you know I love you, right? She said. Oh, is this where you tell me that you're having an affair, but you love only me? It's just sex with the other guy. I was only half joking. Don't be ridiculous. She said. Just answer the question. Yes, I know you love me. I said. I think I know that. Do you? With all my heart. She said. I know you love me the same way. But I know some things that you don't. Oh yeah? Like what? I asked. I know you're in love with Addison. She said. I know she's in love with you. I've always known. Well, I hate to tell you this. I said. But you're mistaken. I love Addie. She's my best friend, but I'm in love with you. She's not in love with me either. Bullshit. She said. You two have been dancing around each other ever since I've known you. You have this we're just best friends thing going because both of you are cowards. Now you're starting to piss me off. I told her. Yeah, well, the truth hurts. She said. You are both so afraid of screwing up and losing each other that neither of you would ever admit that you love each other. I told you, Calloway, I know and it doesn't freak me out. I know neither of you are ever going to do anything about it. You'll never leave me and she'll never try to take you away from me. I love her too, and she loves me. None of us will ever do anything to hurt either of the others. That's so cool and so loving that I love you both for it. I mulled it over for a minute. Does this have a point, Syl? Yes, it does. She said. I'm going to do something outrageous. It isn't risky for me, because it doesn't change anything. You already feel the way you do and so does she. I'm going to do something that I think is going to be very hot. It's going to build a fire under you and me and give someone I love like a sister some relief. I'm going to put you in bed with her. Hell no. I told her. What makes you think I want that? What makes you think she does? Well, there was last night. She said. I was watching the two of you. I agreed to dance another dance with Lucas so I could watch you. Damn, Cal, that was so hot I nearly melted my panties. Maybe you noticed that when we got home. It makes you hot to see me feel up another woman? I asked. That's kind of weird, Syl. No, you feeling up another woman would make me mad as hell. She said. You feeling up Addie makes me hot. It makes me hot because I love her, and I wouldn't mind feeling her up myself. Would watching another man feel me up make you hot, Cal? No, it wouldn't. I said. It would make me want to kick his ass and give you a good spanking. That is exactly how I was feeling last night. Ooh. She wiggled her ass on me. I like the sound of that. Okay, you're not into that. You are into Addie, though. I know that, Cal. I'm not mad about it. I've always known and I'm okay with it. If it were anyone else, I wouldn't be. Do you understand? Yes, I guess I do. You really want me to sleep with Addie? I hope not. She laughed. I was thinking you might fuck her. That's what she wants, and that's what she needs. She needs you to make love to her. She doesn't have that, and she needs it. She goes out with guys constantly. I said. Yes, but she loves you. Don't you care about her, Cal? Of course I do, but I can't be her lover. I'm your lover and I don't want to be anyone else's lover, not even hers. We tried that once, Sylvia. It didn't work. It nearly cost us our friendship. Yes, I know all about it. She said. It scared both of you so badly that you've been cowering in neutral corners ever since. I'm calling you out. Tonight, we're going to go out again. We're going to come back here and you're going to take Addie to bed and give her the loving she needs. You have my approval and permission, Calloway. Well, that's nice, but I'm not going to do it. I said. Let me say it again. I love you. I don't want to do the slightest thing that risks me losing you, not the slightest thing. There's no risk of that. She said. There's not a snowball's chance in hell that I'm ever letting you get away from me. I looked at her suspiciously. What's the catch? For the first time, she looked hesitant. I'm going to fuck Lucas. She said. Listen to me for a minute before you blow your top, Cal. I'm not going to sit around while you fuck our best friend and play with myself. The next time, I want to watch and maybe even play, but the first time you should be alone together. I can't justify this in my own mind without some balance. You may think this is about me wanting to fuck some strange cock. I'm going to do that and I'm going to enjoy myself, but it's not about that. I hope you can understand and believe and accept what I'm telling you. I don't think you'd lie to me, Sylvia. I said. You've never lied to me, why would you start now? If you wanted to lie and just fuck strange dicks, you could do that and just not tell me. If you wanted to fuck strange men, you would have them lining up around the block. Christ, Sylvia, you're smoking hot. You could have any man you wanted, I know that. You never have and I don't know what's changed. Is Lucas really all that attractive? Is this really your idea or did that asshole Lucas put you up to this so he could get in your pants? I swear to God, Cal, he doesn't have a clue. She said. Not that he wouldn't like to get in my pants. I made sure of that last night. Yes, he's attractive in a lot of the same ways you are. It's not about that. I've met hundreds of more attractive guys. I could have had them if that's what I wanted. I don't want them, and I really don't give a shit about Lucas. I would never do this with someone I thought might be a threat to us and I don't think anyone could be. He's not. He's just acceptable. I don't hate him. I don't particularly like him either. This is about fairness. Fairness? I asked. I don't understand. You're going to have sex with our best friend. Do you think that's fair to me, Cal? I know men talk about threesomes with them and two women. If one of them is your wife, how is that fair to her? The guy gets to fuck another woman. Why shouldn't the woman fuck another man? I love you, Calloway, but I'm not a doormat. I'm giving this to you because I love you and I love Addie. I think you both need it. You're giving me something back. If you're not down with that, we'll call off the whole thing. That's going to break Addie's heart, but it won't be my fault. So, was this your idea? I asked again. It's mostly my idea. I have to tell you that I've been talking to Addison about it for months. She didn't have a guy I was willing to take a chance on. They were all the bad boy types that I'm not into that. They try to make something more out of this than it is. They brag and try to hit on me. Lucas is just someone to make me feel like I'm not being taken advantage of here. I just can't give you to her and let you fuck her. I'm going to do that, but it's going to cost both of you too. What if I fall in love with her? I asked. What if you fall in love with Lucas? I can't risk losing you, Syl. Don't be silly, she said. You'll never lose me. There isn't a man on earth that could take me away from you. Movie stars or billionaires, I know what I have, Cal, and I'll never give you up. You're stuck with me. I certainly won't be giving you up for Lucas. He's a pale imitation of you. He's like you in some ways. Why do you think Addie is dating him? It's because he's like you and you're what she really wants. All her boyfriends are like you in some way. You already love Addie, so nothing is going to change there. Is it just Lucas you don't like? He's an asshole. I told her. Do both of you think I'm an asshole? Have you ever liked any man she's dated? She asked. Well, no, I haven't. I said. What's that got to do with anything? Why do you think that is? She asked. It's because you love her and want her for yourself, in the first place. In the second place, I think many people you deal with do think you're an asshole. She giggled. They don't know how tender and loving you are on the inside like Addie and I do. They just see this super confident, self-assured, totally comfortable in his own skin guy and assume you're full of yourself. We know better. We know you're a scared little boy. That hurt my feelings a little. She noticed and pulled my face into those big firm breasts. You're my little boy and I love you that way. She said. Now, before we go out, I want to remind you that you belong to me and I belong to you. She said. She tried to pull away and get up, but I wouldn't let her. What if I decide this is stupid and dangerous and don't want to do it? I asked. We'll stay home and I'll fuck you into submission. She said. Seriously though, all you have to do is say no one time and I'll never bring it up again. Neither will Addie, and we'll just move on. I'm hoping you won't say no, because I think she needs this and I think you need it. It's going to make me feel pretty good, too. Not the sex part, but being the kind of friend and wife I want to be. I've got hopes about the sex part, too. I'm going to be imagining your big cock sinking into that smoking hot girl and I'm going to come like a bomb. What if he's got a foot-long dick? I asked. Are you going to be all loose and need huge dicks from now on? She laughed. You've been reading too many dirty stories. Women's pussies don't stretch out and stay that way. They're just as tight as ever in minutes. Besides, he doesn't. I asked. I wouldn't do that to you, Cal. You never have to compare yourself to anyone. You're perfect for me and you have a big cock yourself. What would I do with a foot-long dick? She laughed. It's ridiculous. I don't have a foot-long pussy. Maybe half that. You hurt me sometimes. That would rip me to shreds and I'd bleed to death. Jesus, you're dumb, for such a smart guy. Where do you get these ideas? Dirty stories. I told her. You haven't dreamed about the black guy with the foot-long dick that he flashes and all the white women swoon and rip their clothes off, never being satisfied by a puny white cock again? More like a nightmare. She said. What do you think I am, Calloway? Just a blonde bag of hormones? No, I've never had a single fantasy about that, and if someone flashed me a foot-long cock I'd run screaming, black or white. Well, I might pretend to be fascinated long enough to get it in my hand and rip it off. Do you think I'm some kind of sick racist that lusts after men because of the color of their skin? My considerably less than foot-long cock shrank in sympathy for the imaginary, ripped-off, foot-long one. I don't think you're just walking hormones, and no, I don't think you're a racist. I said. Some of our best friends are black, right? She laughed at my bad joke. Right. So, now that visions of me screaming on foot-long cocks are out of your head, how about making me scream with yours? Mine was somewhat in shock and tried to hide when she opened my pants. Come out and play, big boy. She cooed. Mama loves you and would never rip you off. That made me laugh and the tension was broken. I think we had the fourth or fifth best sex of our lives all afternoon. She wanted to quit about two to give me time to recharge. I was still feeling very nervous when we walked into the club that evening. To my surprise, nothing seemed different. I sat in the booth and Sylvia sat by me. Lucas and Addison seemed mostly caught up in each other. Syl and I just carried on as we always did and she didn't even dance with Lucas once. She did dance with another guy that asked me nicely and Addie danced twice with guys we didn't know. I danced with Sylvia but it didn't seem out of the ordinary. My nervousness began to fade and we had a really good time. I was pleasantly surprised by everything. I expected to be able to cut the tension with a knife. I thought that we'd switch and make out like we had before and I knew I wasn't going to like that. I was prepared to be driven insane with jealousy, and it was sort of anticlimactic when nothing strange happened. Lucas insisted that the drinks were on him, and he paid the check when we left about midnight. That's when it started getting different. Addie wanted me to ride with her and for Sylvia to ride with Lucas. What's this about? I asked her when we got in the car. Rules, she said. We need to go over the rules. What rules? I asked. Is there a rule book for wife swapping I forgot to read? She laughed that laugh that always made me love her. No, Sylvia and I made them up. Okay, let's hear the famous rules. I said. Well, we know you don't want to watch. She began. Lucas would, but you're the one we care about the most here. Sylvia wants to watch, too, but not this time. There are going to be more times. I asked. I sure hope so. I guess that's up to you and Sylvia. She said. Anyway, we're going to go to your house, have a couple of drinks, we're going to your bedroom and Sylvia and Lucas are going upstairs. We're going to stay as long as we want to with our partners. Either woman is free to change beds, but Lucas is never going to be in your bedroom. That's Sylvia's rule. She thinks it's disrespectful to you. Jesus Christ, Addie. I said. The whole thing is as weird as hell. Why are we worried about disrespect? I glanced over at her, and she was crying. What?
It is, Addie.
You know it. She unbuckled her seatbelt and slid across. I put my arm around her. This was the little girl that walked to grade school with me, and she was upset. I'm sorry, Cal. She whispered. I could barely hear her. This is something I dreamed about all my life, but I see that it's a bad idea. I'll just take Lucas and go home when we get there. Now I felt like a heel. I was making my best friend cry. I squeezed her up.
No, I'm the one that should be sorry, Addie.
I didn't mean it. Just the idea of making love to you is hot as hell. I wanted to do it back when we were in college. This wasn't my idea. I'd have never suggested anything like this. You want it, and Sylvia wants it. I'll try to make it work, okay? I do love you, Addie. I always have, but the idea of Sylvia with Lucas is tearing me up.
I know.
She said. Thank you for trying, Calloway. I know how much you love her. She loves you that much, too. I think she's probably feeling just like you. The difference is, she doesn't love Lucas. She loves you and she loves me. She's willing to do this for us. Both of us owe her big time, Cal. That's why we aren't going to make a fuss about Lucas. She loves us enough to do something for us that probably has her feeling as weird as you do. We'll owe her for the rest of our lives. I owe her more than you. She has more love in her heart than I can even imagine. I can't imagine sharing you with her if you were mine. I owe you too. I can't imagine how torn up you must be. I just know how lucky I am to have two people who love me as much as you two do.
Thank you.
Well, you're pretty lovable. I told her. I reached down and cupped one big breast. Pretty squishy too. She slapped my leg. Is that a fat joke? Her tears were drying on her face. Yeah, you're a big fat cow, Addie. I said. Feel how much I hate that. I pulled her hand down to my cock. It was half hard from just squeezing her breast and sprang to attention as soon as that hot little hand caressed the outside of my pants.
Hmm.
She murmured. I think I've met this guy before somewhere. Well, you sure had your hands on him enough about 15 years ago. I said. Then there was that introduction last night. Why didn't we ever fuck back then, Addison? I was afraid of getting pregnant, and you were afraid of me. She smiled up at me. You were afraid I'd eat you up. Either that or that we'd have a really big blow up and lose our best friend in the process. I was afraid of that too. I'm not going to lose you, am I, Cal? I pulled her tightly up against me. I'll tell you what Syl told me. I said. I'm afraid you're stuck with me, kiddo. I'm too old to find a new best friend. I'm too old to find a new wife, too, so I hope to hell this doesn't blow up in our faces. Sylvia and I won't let that happen. She said. I'd rather die than be the reason you two have trouble, Cal.
I know.
I said. If you don't stop that, I'm going to come in my pants. She gave my cock one last squeeze and slid her hand up inside my shirt. She giggled and it was a very sexy giggle. I held her close and we just talked as best friends do the rest of the way home. The tension began to build when we walked in the house. We had a drink and played a game of spades. Sylvia, Addie, her partner of the night, and I play a lot of spades. I went into the kitchen for chips and Sylvia joined me, pouring another round. She came and pressed up against me, putting her arms around me from behind and pinning me against the bar. You okay, baby? She asked. All you have to do is say no.
No.
I said. I mean not no, but I'm not okay. Jesus, Syl, I don't think I could ever be okay with this. I'm trying, baby. I'm trying really hard. I may say no yet. I feel like I'm on an acid trip and I'm about to crash any time. Do you really want this? Yes, I think it's going to be good for all of us. She said. Addison came walking in, holding her empty glass. Getting cold feet, big boy? She asked. I'm as dry as the Mojave. All you have to do is say no, Cal. Yeah, that's what I keep hearing. I said. Seems to me like you girls are driving this train. I just hope it doesn't derail and kill us all. They exchanged a look. Sylvia took the chips out of my hand and put them back in the pantry, handed Addie and me our drinks, and went back into the living room. Addie replaced her, pinning me against the bar, and she lit me up with a smoking kiss that had my head swimming. She took a step back and her fingers began opening buttons on her blouse. All that creamy skin started unveiling itself before my eyes. I'd seen most of it before. We'd done everything but fuck back in college and I knew what she looked like under those clothes. She was a living doll. There were some spectacular breasts inside that silk blouse and her erect nipples were obvious. As the silk fell open, those strawberry-capped vanilla ice cream cones sprang out in all their glory. God, she was beautiful and sexy. There's something about a redhead skin, nearly translucent and so creamy smooth. I just stared for a while, mesmerized at her sensuality. You just going to look, or do you want to play? She gave me a sultry look that would have melted ice at the North Pole. Was I nuts? Of course, I wanted to play. I took her arms and we swapped positions. She was facing away from me, pinned against the bar, and I slid my hands around to cup those delightful mounds. She was completely wrapped in my arms, and I kissed the side of her neck as her firm ass ground against my raging cock. I palmed her breasts, pinching and tugging on her nipples. She went wild, writhing against me and turning her head so I could kiss her. She moaned into my mouth, and I reached down and pulled her short skirt up around her waist. She had on little lacy yellow panties that framed her delicious cheeks to perfection, leaving the full bottoms bare and jiggling. I reached around, running my hand inside the loose leg in the front and onto her throbbing pussy.
She was dripping wet, and I used her honey to lubricate her clit, pinching it gently and coaxing it out to play. She was trembling and on the verge of an orgasm.
"Cal, please," she gasped.
"Not here. Take me to bed." I scooped her up in my arms and carried her. She was heavy. Addie wasn't a small girl. That stick I met in the fifth grade has filled out and grown tall. She was nearly 6 feet and solidly muscled. I knew she and Sylvia worked out at the same gym, and it had obviously paid off for both of them. Sylvia is about her height. For some reason, I seemed to be attracted to tall women. They were still a couple of inches shorter than I was and about the same size as Lucas. There was no sign of Sylvia and Lucas. My heart pounded furiously in my chest. I began to slow and got ready to put Addie down. She clung to me, wrapped her incredibly long legs around my waist and her arms around my neck. Her full, pouty lips sought mine and she whispered,
"Please, Cal. Please, I'm begging you. I'll make it so good for you. Kiss me."
I did, and it was very good. I lost that sinking feeling in the pit of my stomach as she ground her pussy against my cock and her soft lips crushed mine. I started moving again, and she never let me stop. I carried her beautiful form into the bedroom, and she dropped her feet to the floor. She turned me around with my back to the bed and slowly pushed me down. As I went prone, she moved up onto the bed, straddling my hips and grinding on me. Her long, cool fingers made short work of the buttons on my shirt, and she pulled the tails out of my pants, shedding her blouse and pressing her luscious breasts into my chest. She was kissing me, as passionately as any kiss I'd ever had, and she reached down to unbuckle my belt and unfasten my pants. Deciding that speed was more important than finesse, I helped her, and she left me to finish undressing while she unzipped her skirt and threw it at a chair. Those little yellow panties went flying and there was a naked, flame-haired goddess standing in my bedroom. I couldn't move, couldn't speak, all I could do was stare. I'd seen nearly all of her at one point or another, but never all together like this. She was breathtaking, stunning, any adjective you care to use doesn't adequately describe Addie. She could have made big money posing nude. It should be a crime to shave redheads, and she wasn't guilty. She had a little tuft of flame, in the shape of an inverted triangle over a bare pussy. I could see her moisture glistening on her lips. I needed to taste her badly, but she was having none of that. She leaped on me like a big cat.
"I need you and me now, Cal,"
she growled in my ear.
"We have plenty of time for other stuff later. I need you to take me now. I need, baby. Please don't make me wait."
She rolled off me and I slid up over her. I felt her heat and wetness against the head of my cock and she thrust upward, seeking my hardness with almost desperation. She groaned as I found her entrance and began to sink into her.
"God, Calloway, I've waited so long for this. Easy, baby, you're really thick. That's it."
I backed off a little and it took a dozen strokes to get fully inside her tightness. She felt like a 16-year-old virgin. I knew that she had been with a lot of men and remembered what Sylvia told me about women not stretching and staying that way. Addie sure wasn't stretched. As I watched, I could see her lips clinging to my cock as it withdrew and sinking inward with each forward motion. It felt like I was going to turn her inside out. It took her a few minutes to get comfortable. Once she did, it was as if a switch was turned on and she went into overdrive. She got vocal and her hips began to pound up into me. I don't think it took her a dozen strokes to start coming. There was nothing quiet about Addie. She groaned as if she was dying and then screamed as her body stiffened and she exploded, writhing like a boa constrictor, her arms and legs wrapped around me. It was a good thing she had a hair trigger, because 20 years of waiting, having dreams about her, being around her, tantalizingly near and yet always just out of reach, had me boiling in record time. I was about to come and I warned her.
"Oh God, yes,"
she cried out.
"Fuck me, Cal. Oh my God. I've waited for so long. Come in me, Cal, fill me up. Oh God, oh my God, yes."
She came again, thrusting up at me in a frenzy of lust and screaming out her ecstasy as I jetted streams of cum into her. We relaxed for a minute and then she jumped up.
"Be right back, love," she said.
She went into the bathroom and I heard the water running. She came back, drying her pussy with a hand towel and carrying a wet, warm washcloth. She cleaned me up and grinned a mischievous grin.
"I'll bet we taste good, but you came buckets, Cal. I'll suck you clean when we're not quite so messy."
My dormant member gave a twitch, and she swooped down, taking it completely inside the hot cavern of her mouth. I relaxed and let her have her way with me. She wasn't as good as Sylvia was, but she was damn good. I began to stiffen and she gagged and pulled back. She chuckled.
"I've never been able to do deep throat. Still can, I know, so I'm going to have to get her to teach me."
She went back to work and I needed to taste her. I tugged on her, pulling her toward me and she moved around, straddling my face and giving me access to that beautiful pussy. She moaned around my cock as I gave it a swipe with my tongue. It was nearly perfect. Pale pink lips gave way to a deeper pink inside, her lips slightly swollen and her clit was fully engorged. I peeled back the hood a bit and poked it with my tongue. She quivered, jerked and moaned again. Her smell was a narcotic, and she tasted amazing. There was a faint hint of soap at first from her cleaning efforts, but that was flooded away with a tangy honey flavor almost immediately. I reached around and buried my fingers in the firm, round flesh of that tight ass and spread her cheeks a bit, exposing her little rosebud. I flicked at it with my tongue, getting it wet and using some of her nectar to make it slippery. I went to work on her clit, pulling it with my lips and working it firmly with my stiffened tongue. She began a slow writhe and she trembled. That trembling built, and she was moaning nonstop around my cock, now. I could feel her tension building as she climbed toward a peak, her muscles beginning to tighten as it built. I could tell she was on the brink, every nerve in her as tightly wound as a clock spring. She was trembling like a sapling in a high wind, and I sank one finger into her tight little ass. She jerked her mouth off my cock and screamed again as the tension broke, and she went wild. I had trouble keeping contact with her as she bucked and spasmed, her orgasm cresting and sweeping her away. I pulled her tightly to me and lashed her clit with my tongue, using my free hand to push one, and then two, fingers inside her tight little pussy. She shrieked and went off again, thrusting against my fingers at first until she began to struggle to get away. I held her tightly, and continued to attack that little pussy like a dog after a bone.
Stop. Stop, Cal, oh my god, please. I can't, please, Cal, please.
She twisted frantically and I let her escape. She flopped onto the bed beside me, face down and panting. Jesus Christ, Calloway. Were you trying to kill me? She gasped. We rested and I held her as we caught our breath. As our pulses slowed, I became aware of things around me. I could hear sounds. Sylvia has always been a very vocal lover and she was obviously coming like a bomb. Her mewling cries of ecstasy were very audible and it sent a chill through me. There is something about hearing your woman give tongue to her pleasure in the arms of another man that diminishes the soul. I had never heard a more frightening sound. I had heard it many times, but it had been in my arms and I was the one wringing that orgasmic sound from her. Tears sprang, unbidden, to my eyes. What were we doing? I loved Addie. I knew I did, but Sylvia was the most precious thing in the world to me and at that moment, I knew I was losing her. This had been a colossal blunder. I should never have agreed to it. I turned to my side, facing away from Addie. I couldn't bear to look at her and the sounds went on and on. She spooned up against me and she must have sensed something amiss. Her face peeked up over my shoulder and she looked at my expression. That one look must have told the story. She wailed softly, an anguished sound of dismay. No, Cal, no. It's okay. She rolled me over and slid on top of me. Calloway. Her lips sought mine. Cal, it's not like that. She's not leaving you. You're not losing her. She did this for me, for us. Don't listen, Cal. Look at me. Listen to me. It's going to be okay. Trust her. Trust me. It's okay. Don't read anything into anything. Just wait and see what happens. I promise you that we'll all be okay. Please, Cal, I love you. I won't let you get hurt. I won't let anything happen to you and Sylvia. Make love to me now. Let me show you. She moved up and fed me one luscious strawberry nipple. My anxiety slowly faded and as our passion grew, I was once more immersed in the sensuous creature that was Addison Taylor. I rolled her under me, flipping her onto her stomach. She arched her back, shoving her exquisite ass back into me and pulled her knees up under her, offering me her pussy from behind. I eased into her, making her gasp and moan. I slowly built up to a driving rhythm and she began to climb the mountain. I think she came twice before she pulled herself forward, away from my impaling member and pushed me over. Let me. She panted. She swung aboard, seating my cock into her steaming opening and impaling herself again. God, she was athletic. She rode me like a pony, her amazing breasts bouncing and giving me one of the most erotic visuals that I'd ever seen. My best friend since elementary school, the little redhead, all grown up into this amazing seductress riding my cock and loving it. At that moment, I realized that Sylvia had been right. I loved Addison Taylor. I always had and I always would. I pulled her down for a kiss and her big breasts crushed against my chest, the erect nipples scraping against mine in a sensuous dance of love. Her supple hips pumped like pistons and I ran my hands down her back to clutch the firm globes of her ass. I held her still and began to pump up into her. She gasped into my mouth and I drove up into the volcanic heat of her little pussy. She began to moan and gasp as her orgasm rolled over her, and I kept pounding into her as she came, repeatedly. Finally, our rhythm broke and I slipped out, making several thrusts just rubbing between her pussy lips. She was limp against me, exhausted with her effort. I wasn't done with her. I rolled her off me, face down on the bed beside me. She was as limp as a noodle. I straddled her legs as she, wearily, attempted to pull her knees up to a doggy position. I pulled on her ankles, stretching her out flat and mounted her, pushing between the cheeks of that amazing ass, between her thighs and into her heat. Again? She gasped. Cal, I don't think, oh Jesus, Cal, oh no, oh my god, Cal. It's so deep. I drove into her, pinning her like a butterfly in a collection, and she sobbed in her chest. I could feel my cock bump the back of her pussy, and she groaned as I held there, fully embedded in her. I began to pound into her, watching her ass quiver and bounce under me. Oh my god, you're going to make me come some more. She groaned. Oh my god, Cal. Oh my god, oh my god. Please, Cal. You're fucking me so hard. Please, Cal. Come, baby. I can't take any more. I continued to pound her, her cries and groans constant as she continued to orgasm, one rolling into another, as she sobbed and wept in her sexual ecstasy. Please, Cal, please come. She begged. You're hurting me, please come. I didn't want that, but the sound of her sobbing out her orgasms and the sight of her face, turned to the side in a rictus of orgasmic pleasure, drove me over the edge and I filled her with what I had left. She came one last time with a shriek as she felt me squirt and we collapsed. I lay on her and held her spectacular body closely as she shuddered and shook, sobbing and quivering with post-orgasmic contractions around my softening cock inside her. I slowly withdrew and she groaned. I fell to the bed beside her and gathered her into my arms, her beautiful tear-streaked face before me. I kissed her until her sobbing stilled and held her tightly.
"Jesus, Calloway," she breathed. "You destroyed me."
Her breath caught in a little sob.
"I'm so in love with you. Please don't say we can't do this again. We'll find a way, baby. Just trust us. We'll make it work. Do you love me, Cal?"
I kissed away her doubts, and as we drifted off, I held her tightly. My love for Addie had taken a quantum leap. I just hoped Sylvia was on the same trip. At some point, I heard the shower running, and in my half-awake state, I thought Addie must be showering. Then I felt the warmth and softness of her big breast under my hand. I was too exhausted to think much, and my last conscious thought was that it must be Sylvia. I felt the bed shake sometime later, and another warm, soft body pressed itself against me. It was Sylvia. She kissed me softly on the side of the face, whispered, "I love you, Calloway." And I drifted off again. It was becoming light when I awoke again. Addie was gone, and Sylvia was snuggled up to me. I heard the stool in the bathroom and the sound of water running. I closed my eyes, and in a minute, I felt Addie slip back in. I opened my eyes and smiled at her. She scooted over until her lips were against my ear.
"Take her, Cal," she whispered. "She's your wife. Look at her. See how beautiful she is? Wake her up and fuck her."
I shuddered a bit.
"She's clean," Addie whispered. "She's showered and douched. I saw the box in the bathroom trash. Show her how much we love her for what she did for us."
I leaned into Sylvia and nibbled her ear. She sighed and shifted in the sleep. Addie got out of bed, her glorious nakedness on full display, and walked around the bed to get in on the other side of Sylvia. She eased the covers down and Sylvia stirred, reaching in her sleep to pull them back up. Addie gently continued and Sylvia's naked breasts thrust up, as they were uncovered. We both pressed our bodies against her, sharing our warmth, and she sighed. I bent to take one nipple between my lips and nursed it erect. Sylvia gave a little moan and I glanced up. Addie was locked onto her other nipple like a baby, stretching it between her lips and releasing it, making Sylvia's breasts quiver. I saw her hand slide down, toying with Sylvia's little tuft of blonde curls before sliding down to press into the crease of her pussy. She rubbed Sylvia's clit gently and then slid one finger into her. She played for a bit and drew her finger out, putting it in her mouth and tasting Sylvia's juices. I was as hard as I've ever been in my life.
"Take her, she's wet and ready," Addie whispered.
I could see Sylvia's hips moving a bit in her sleep, seeking that stimulation that had disappeared. I crawled between her legs as Addie positioned my cock between the pinkness of Sylvia's lips.
"Take her,"
she whispered. Sylvia's eyes popped open as I slid into her, and she groaned, wrapping her arms and legs around me and holding on for dear life. We made love, slowly and sweetly, for about 5 minutes until Sylvia began to approach her orgasm.
"Faster, baby," she whispered. "Make me come. I'm going to come so hard. Fuck me, Cal."
Her words were cut off as Addie kissed her lips. I could see them tongue wrestling, and I gave Sylvia everything I had. She tore her lips away from Addie and cried out, her voice hoarse and gasping. Addie captured one fat little nipple and Sylvia went off like a bomb, Addie's hot little hands everywhere, stroking our bodies and urging us on. I unloaded a weak spurt or two, shouting out my own release as it felt like my soul was pouring into Sylvia. We collapsed, both of us lying half over Sylvia and smothering her with love. We gradually relaxed and I fell asleep, one hand on Addie's full breast and the other arm cradling my wife's head. When I woke up, the girls were still asleep, wound around each other like a nest of snakes. I'm always amazed at how limber women are. Makes you wonder if they have bones. These looked pretty boneless to me. I went down and made coffee, took a shower in the downstairs bathroom and went to the donut shop to get breakfast. Yeah, donuts are part of the basic food groups. Eggs, grain, sugar, and the kolaches I got even had meat. They were still asleep when I got back. The coffee was ready, and I got a tray. I put 3 cups of coffee on it, 3 glasses of milk, and all the pastries. I carried it upstairs and set in on the lamp table beside my side of the bed. Then I climbed up and lay on top of them. They stirred uneasily and tried to wiggle out from under me. I held them and rested my full weight on them. They made little grunting sounds as if they were being squished by a car crusher and opened their eyes, almost simultaneously. I pulled their faces together so that they were cheek to cheek and kissed the hell out of them. Their breath wasn't all that fresh, but I didn't care. They moaned and squeaked until Sylvia was able to catch a bit of breath.
"Get off of us, you big elephant. Jesus, Calloway, you weigh 1,000,000 pounds. Get off. I need to pee."
They cooperated to roll me off to the side and I let them. Sylvia first, and then Addie went off to the bathroom. Both of them smelled the food, and by the time Addie made it back, Sylvia was done with her first kolach and into her first twist. They munched away like starving wolves for a bit. They both eat like horses and never gain a pound. They were naked and I started getting a hard-on after about 2 minutes of watching them. After the night and morning we'd had, I had supposed a freight train of Viagra wouldn't get me up.
I was wrong.
We chatted a bit as we ate, and I noticed that they kept shooting glances at each other and at me, but neither one of them would hold the eyes of any of the rest of us. It was as if they were a little embarrassed that I sat facing them, and I knew I had to say something as the silence stretched uncomfortably between us.
"Anyone want to start on what happened last night?"
I asked. They looked at each other and they both started talking at the same time. That cracked me up and we laughed until we cried. I collapsed on the bed and they fell on top of me. I was holding a gorgeous, naked woman in each arm and they lay with their cheeks on my chest and their noses nearly touching.
"Sylvia, I love you," Addie said.
Sylvia kissed the tip of her nose.
Yes, I know, she said. I love you too. Hey, your pillow here is feeling a little left out, I said.
Well, get used to it, Sylvia said.
I'm leaving you and I'm going to marry Addie. It's legal now, you know. I'm taking all the money and you'll have to find a place to live.
Oh, I'm going to tell Peyton what an asshole you are and she's going to stay with me.
Addie gave an evil chuckle. It's not something I admire in a woman.
Well, that's not nearly as funny as you think it is, I told Sylvia.
I'm about half afraid that's exactly what you're going to do. They laughed uproariously. You won't mind if we keep him so we have a nice pillow.
Addie snorted.
No, he's good for that. He has a nice cock too, Sylvia said.
He feeds us, so maybe he could be useful.
They laughed again.
Seriously, babe, we do need to talk about everything. I only want Addie to be here for part of this, so let's do everything with her we want to do before we let her go.
What did you have in mind?
I asked.
Talk to her and then fuck her, Sylvia said.
Addie laughed.
Do we have to talk first?
Yes, we do, I said.
I'm floundering here.
I have no idea what's going on with you, Addie, with you, Sylvia, or even with me. I'm so confused I can barely stand myself.
Addie, you're as sexy as hell and you know I love you, but this just feels like I'm at the top of a long, icy hill with no brakes.
Sylvia, hearing you last night nearly killed me. Everything in me told me I was making, we were making, the kind of mistakes that would end up with me losing you.
I nearly drowned in despair and Addie kind of pulled me back.
Am I losing you, Syl?
She burst into tears and nearly broke my neck hugging me. She kissed me all over my face and her tears dripped on me.
No, baby, you're not losing me. I'm never going to let go of you.
You're my life. I'm so sorry about the way you felt. Let me tell you what was going on with me and explain something to you.
I love you. I've loved you since our second date. When you introduced me to Addison on our third date, I was insanely jealous. She's so beautiful and smart, and you obviously loved her. It was easy to tell she felt the same way about you. Over the next few weeks, I realized that you were part of each other, and that I could never break that bond. I stopped trying. Instead, I made my own bond with her. I embraced her and accepted her.
Addie, you're my sister. We have something special going on. As time went on, I realized that you two are in love with each other, but in a way that I'll never understand and never try to interfere with.
Addison interrupted her and pulled her head over to kiss her. It went on for a while.
I see why you're such a good therapist, Sylvia, she said. You think deeper than the rest of us.
You're exactly right, but I never thought about it like that.
You two always had this tension going on, Sylvia said. I think it was harmful to all of us.
It's broken now. We've been friends for more than 10 years and we've never been able to talk like this before.
Now we can. Here's something else. I'm about half in love with you, myself, Addie.
I love you.
I always have, but in the last year or so, it's been more than that. We've been talking about that, but now Callaway can be part of that conversation.
Cal, I need to explain last night.
Lucas means nothing to me. He's a good and considerate lover, but I felt nothing for him and I never will.
All the time I was with him, I was thinking about you and Addie. I was thinking about your big cock sliding into that tight little pussy. I could imagine the look on her face as she came, that hair like fire floating around, and I could imagine you, Cal. You were finally, after all these years, having the thing you always wanted but never even thought about having, and it drove me mad. I came 1,000 times, but it was you. It was you too that filled my head.
Lucas might as well have been a machine. I was hurting some too, Cal.
I never dreamed I'd someday be in the position of imagining you with another woman. If it were anyone else, this would be the end of us.
I squeezed her tightly.
I don't want to be with any other women, Syl, I said.
I know that, she said. I'm just telling you that you aren't the only one with mixed feelings here.
I heard a little gasp and I looked down to see that Addie was crying. Sylvia noticed too and she quickly reached over me and pulled Addie up against me.
No, honey, don't cry. She caressed Addie's back gently. It's going to be okay. Tell her, Callaway.
I squeezed her and played with that flaming hair.
It is, Addie. We'll work it all out, okay?
She nodded her cheek on my chest.
I just feel like I'm causing you guys pain, she said.
I don't want to do that. I feel so selfish.
Maybe I should go.
No, honey, not yet, Sylvia said.
This isn't all on you. Callaway is in the same boat you are.
Yes, we're hurting a little, but we love you.
Sometimes you do painful things for people you love.
Cal, I know you don't like me sleeping with Lucan, but I have to keep my self-respect too. I'm not going to just say, sure, you go ahead and fuck Addie. I'll just sleep in the spare bedroom and play with myself.
Not going to happen.
You get that, right?
Addie nodded.
I wasn't sure I did. None of this was my idea. Sure, it had been the fulfillment of my biggest fantasy, especially with these two gorgeous, naked kittens in bed with me, but thinking about Sylvia with Lucas nearly made me nauseous. I felt claustrophobic. Suddenly I had to get out of there. My brain was in overload and I needed to breathe. I sat up and started getting dressed.
What are you doing, Cal?
Sylvia asked.
I need some air.
I told her.
I'm going for a ride.
Don't leave.
Addie pleaded.
We need to talk, Callaway.
We'll talk later,
I said.
I'm going to explode.
Just let me get my head on straight, okay? I raised my voice a little and they didn't say anything else for a minute. I got my keys and I was going out the door when Sylvia spoke.
Don't do anything stupid, Cal. It's going to be okay.
I nodded.
I won't, I said.
I just need some space to clear my head. I went down to the garage and got in my truck. I just sat there for a minute and I felt numb, as if my brain was spinning a million miles an hour but someone forgot to engage the gears. A thought came to me and I looked over at my baby. My 1970 Nova SS was sitting there begging to be driven. Its metallic blue paint with the black Chevy SS stripes fit my mood. I jumped out of the truck and got in. The big block 402 rumbled to life and I felt the shake of the camlope. It felt good. I backed out into the street and put the hammer down. There was a screech of burning rubber and I held it down for a quarter mile or so. The wind in the windows whistled and I felt better already. I checked my fuel and I had half a tank. The drone of the exhaust lulled me as I cruised around the bypass, and a kid in an import with a big gay spoiler gave me a thumbs up as I eased by. I drove for 30 minutes and pulled into a convenience store. I topped off the tank and got me a cup of coffee. I was nearly back home when I decided to stop and have a beer. The little bar and grill I pulled into had a lunch crowd and I got a spot at the bar. The guy on the next stool tried to carry on a conversation and so did the woman that came and sat down on the other side. I wasn't at all interested in chit-chat, and they gave up after a couple of monosyllabic replies. My beer became 3 and then I was in no shape to drive. There was a La Quinta across the street and I had 2 more beers and checked it. I rarely drink alcohol, and 5 beers in a couple of hours were as much as I'd consumed since college. I collapsed on the bed and the next time I opened my eyes it was 4 a.m. and my bladder was bursting. I relieved the pressure and my mouth tasted like I had been eating old athletic socks. I went down to the lobby, got the courtesy toothbrush, and bought some pain relievers. I took them, brushed my teeth, and went back to bed. I felt considerably better when I woke up. I had slept until 10. I showered and put my dirty clothes back on. My stomach was rebelling against having such a stupid owner, and I went across the street to the Waffle House. It's difficult to imagine, but their breakfast wasn't bad, if you don't mind eating in what looks like a truck stop restroom. The company wasn't sterling, either, but I wasn't there to audition anyone. After my 3rd cup of coffee, I felt human again and I checked my phone for the first time. It was almost noon and I had 62 missed calls and 43 new text messages. I felt guilty, but I didn't want to talk to either Sylvia or Addie just then. I did want to talk to Peyton, and 3 of the texts were from her. Unfortunately, she was at school. I got an idea and drove to the school. I went in and checked her out. She came running and threw herself on me when she saw me waiting. "Daddy, where have you been?" she asked. "Mom and Aunt Addie are worried sick. They cried all night and Mom was still crying when she brought me to school this morning. Let me buy you lunch and I'll tell you all about it," I said. She held my hand and we went to the car. She loves the Nova and she wanted to go fast. We did, once we got clear of the school zone. Not a good place to go fast. And it was a good thing I didn't. Barney Fife was down at the corner, looking for customers. I took Peyton to Fuddruckers and bought her a hamburger. I got a Mountain Dew and we talked. I told her that something had happened Saturday night, and I was confused, angry, hurt, and I just needed some time to get over it. "You know how sometimes when you get mad at me you go and stay in your room for a while?" I said. "That's kinda how I feel right now. I don't want to talk to your mother or Aunt Addie right now. I'll get better, just like you do, but I wanted to love on you a little and let you know that everything's okay, alright?" "I understand, Daddy," she said. "Sometimes you just want to be left alone for a while." She hugged me and kissed my cheek. "How long do you think it's going to take?" "I don't know, baby," I said. "How do you know when you're ready to come out of your room?" "I come out when I don't feel mad inside anymore," she said. "Well, I'm still a little bit mad inside," I told her. "Not at you, honey. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at Mom and Addie and I'm kind of mad at myself, too. I guess I'm mad at the whole world." "Yeah, I know what you mean," she said. "I felt like that when you wouldn't let me spend the night at Julia's house after her birthday party." "Well, I like Julia," I said. "I don't like her mom and I wouldn't leave you alone there. She uses drugs, kitten. She was arrested a couple of weeks before that party. I explained all this to you. I know, that's why I'm not mad anymore," she said. "You're a very smart young lady," I told her. "We better get you back to school. I just wanted to see you and tell you what's going on. I also wanted to tell you that I love my baby, bunches. If you call or text me, I'll answer. I was asleep when you texted before." I drove her back to school, kissed her, and she went back to class. I had some thinking to do. I listened to all those voicemails and read the texts. They had grown more and more frantic as the night wore on, and finally there was just a note of panic. I knew I should call and let them off the hook, but I wasn't ready. I had no idea what to say. I liked the La Quinta, so I checked in for another day. I went to Walmart and bought a pack of underwear, some athletic shorts, a pair of flip-flops, and some t-shirts. I also got a legal pad. I think best if I can take notes and make lists. I went back and took a shower. The clean clothes felt nice, and I sat down at the desk and tried to collect my thoughts. I was very pissed off about the whole "I'm going to fuck Lucas" thing. I mean, I understood to some degree. Had I come up with the idea and approached Sylvia with the scheme, it would have made perfect sense. The thing is, I didn't. I didn't come up with it, and I never would have. I was perfectly happy. None of this was my idea. True, I went along with it, but I was totally not on board. I knew I should have said something at the beginning. I let it go on, just thinking with my dick, I guess. I made some notes, figured out what I was going to say and do, and called it a night. The next morning, I didn't go to work. I figured Addie would be worried, so I called my desk and left a message that if there were any emergencies she should send me a text. It wasn't 5 minutes before she sent me one. If talking to your best friend and your wife when they're hurting very badly and scared out of their minds isn't an emergency, I don't know what is. I guess she had a point, but that wasn't the kind of emergency I had in mind. I took a nap, went out to look for some food and came back with Taco Bell. Yeah, I know. It was close that I was watching a baseball game when someone knocked on the door. When I opened it, Sylvia and Addison were standing there. They were both crying and they jumped on me like tigers. The next thing I knew, I was flat on my back on the bed, with two very weepy women on top of me. They were sobbing and saying things that I couldn't make out except that there was, sorry, mixed in there a million times that I just wrapped my arms around them and held them until they calmed down a little.
Whoa, girls. Just slow down a minute. I said. Take a deep breath and then you can talk to me. One at a time, please. How did you find me? This is the 29th motel we've been to.
Sylvia sniffed.
I've been so scared, Cal. Peyton told me you took her to lunch and that you were really mad. I'm so sorry, baby. I never dreamed it would hit you so hard. We thought this was something that would make you happy. We thought that you would realize how much Addie means to both of us and that you'd be okay with this.
Is it the Lucas thing? Addis asked. You have to know that he means nothing to either of us compared to you.
God, Cal. You're a real bastard, just running away and leaving us like that. What the hell is wrong with you?
Callaway, are we okay? Sylvia asked.
What are you doing? Are you leaving me?
She broke down again and buried her face in my chest.
No, honey. I told her. I'm not leaving you and yes, we're okay. I was just pissed off and weirded out. I was confused and I needed time to think. I was coming home tomorrow. I have my shit together and we need to talk.
It's good that Addie's here, because we need to talk to her too. They both snuggled in and looked up at me, expectantly.
Do you want to go first?
Addie asked.
If you want me to. I said. Did you have something you wanted to say?
Yes, I have a bunch of things I want to say. She replied. The first one is, I'm sorry, Callaway. I never meant to make things bad for you. I love you and I love Sylvia. I would rather die than be a problem between you. Do you believe me?
I nodded. Yes, I believe you, Addie. I know you're a good person and that you'd never deliberately hurt either of us.
Good. She sighed. Then I guess I need to say that this will never happen again. That's not what I want, and it makes me sad as hell, but I guess it's the way it has to be. I glanced at Sylvia.
I'm sorry too, she said. I guess I misread the situation. I thought this would be something for both of you that would be good. Is the problem me?
No, I guess it isn't. I said. I guess the problem is me.
The very idea of you being with someone else kills me, Syl. It doesn't kill you to think of you being with Addie. She said. I'm not some dishrag person without any pride, Callaway. I think it's fair that if you two play, I get to play too.
I guess it is. I said. The problem is, I would never have played if it would have been left up to me.
This was your idea, and Addie's idea, not mine. I was perfectly happy before.
Now Addie began to cry a little.
Well, I wasn't. She said. Don't you care at all how I feel, Cal?
I brushed away her tears and stroked her cheek.
Of course I do, Addie. You mean more to me than I've ever been able to tell you. I've loved you since the minute I saw you smack that guy in the face with your book. We tried this once, remember? We decided that we were better as friends.
Yes, I know. She said.
It was mostly you that decided that, Cal. I've been crazy about you all my life. It nearly killed me when you started dating Sylvia. Then I got to know her. I thought she was perfect. She was right for you and I knew I could never come between you. I love her like I do you. I don't want to go through my life without being with the man I love, but this isn't working and I certainly don't want to live my life regretting causing problems between the two people I love more than anything. So we have a problem. I said. I do love you, Addie, but I'm not going to give up Sylvia to be with you. I can't live with her being with other men either. I'm not going to play the hypocrite.
You're right, Sylvia. If Addie and I make love, it isn't fair to you. I can't expect you to play coquette. At the same time, the thought of you being with someone else isn't something I can live with. I'm all out of ideas.
Sylvia looked up at me. I could see wheels turning. There was a speculative look in her eye. I do have an idea. She said.
What?
Both Addie and I spoke at the same time. Well, if it's the idea of me being with another man that's preventing us from all being happy, how would you feel about me being with another woman?
I don't know. I said. I'll have to think about that.
Do you have someone in mind? I didn't know you rolled like that, Syl.
I don't. She said.
I tried it a few times in college. I liked it, but I'm mostly attracted to men. Yes, I do have someone in mind.
Who?
Addie and I both laughed when we spoke together again. Sylvia looked a little shy.
Come on, Syl, spill it. Addie said.
Sylvia glanced up at me again. Her eyes fell.
Addie. She said.
Her voice was just a whisper.
Me?
Addie squeaked.
Really?
Oh my god!
Really?
Callaway, would that be okay? I'd like that more than anything. It was so sexy the other morning and I really, really like this idea.
God, you're gorgeous, Syl.
I love getting my hands on you.
Other stuff, too.
Say something, Callaway.
I was stunned.
What was I going to say?
Has there been a man in the history of the world that would say no to this? There would have to be some conditions. I pretended to be reluctant.
What?
They were like twins. Well, let's see. I mused. First, you two have to do it right now, right here. Then I get to fuck both of you. Second, I get to watch anytime I want to. Third, I get to participate if I want to. Fourth, I get to fuck either one or both of you anytime I want to. Their mouths hung open for a second.
Deal?
Sylvia said.
Yes,
Addie said. Sylvia was already climbing over me. We're both all ugly and witchy looking from crying, Cal. Are you sure you want this now? On your worst day, you're both the hottest women in the state, I said. No more crying, though. I just want to hear moaning. I heard plenty of that. They attacked each other like they were dying of thirst in the desert. It was one of the most erotic things I've ever seen or heard of. Two of the most gorgeous women on the planet were all over each other, right there in front of me. They ate each other's pussies like they were delicious desserts, kissed like teenagers on their first date, and did this scissors thing with their pussies rubbing together while I took turns kissing them, mauling their breasts, licking their clits, and they came a million times. I fucked them both, the first time, coming in Addie and the second time, fucking Sylvia into oblivion and unloading in her while Addie rode her tongue to orgasm while I nursed on those strawberry nipples. We spent the night in an orgy of excess. They fucked each other, I fucked one or the other of them or all three of us together as we dozed and woke, all night long. My first rational thought was,
where is Peyton?
Hey, I said.
I just thought of something. What did you do with Peyton?
She's at your parents' place, Sylvia said.
We told her we were going to find you and bring you home. You are ready to come home, right, Calloway?
I felt sheepish.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Sylvia. I should never have walked out like that.
She kissed me.
No, you shouldn't have.
I understand, though.
It's okay, baby. We're going to be okay.
We went back home and Addie rode with me. We had a chance to talk and got some issues resolved.
How long have you been planning this?
I asked.
Since the fifth grade.
She laughed.
Well, recently, for about 7 months. How did it come up?
I asked.
Did you just mention one day, I'm in love with your husband and I'd sure like to fuck him?
She laughed again.
No, it wasn't quite that simple. I just dumped the latest in my string of asshole boyfriends and still called me. I was kind of down in the dumps and wondering what was wrong with me. Why couldn't I find a guy that would make me happy? She insisted on taking me out. We went to this bar and got a booth. She sat by me and we hugged a lot. We were pretty wasted, and I just started unloading on her about why I couldn't find the right guy. She got really quiet, and finally she said, "You already have, Addie."
That's the problem. What did you say? I asked.
I asked her what she was talking about. She said that she felt like she'd upset some kind of cosmic balance. She felt like you and me were always supposed to be together, and she moved in and spoiled everything. She started crying and I told her that we were just best friends. We didn't work together. She called bullshit on me. She said she knew I was in love with you the first day we met. She said she was really upset about that for a while, but when she got to know me, she wasn't. She knew I'd never do anything to come between you two, but she loved me as much as you did and it was killing her to see me floundering around like that. She said you were in love with me, too, but you wouldn't ever admit it, even to yourself.
I guess she was right, I said.
I do love you, Addie. The problem is, I love Sylvia. I'd rather die than hurt her. It's incredible how much she loves me. It's incredible how much she loves you, too. Both of us have a lot of work to do to make sure she doesn't regret loving us. We'd better make sure she knows how much we love her, every day.
I know. Addie's eyes were wet. I tried to tell her that she was wrong, but she knew better. She really is a very good psychologist. She asked me if she could find a way for you and me to be together, I'd do it. I told her I'd do anything for her, even if she never found a way. It took a while for her to work it out. I had to have a man she didn't hate, and she had to get you primed.
I guess that last part was a major fail.
No, it wasn't, I told her. That was an incredible experience, Addie. I don't ever want to repeat it. Not the being with you part, that was incredible. I just can't live with her being with another guy. If we hadn't worked this out, I'd have had to say I can't be with you.
I know, she said. I'm more grateful to her than I'll ever be able to tell her.
God, she's hot, Cal. She made me come harder than anything I've ever felt before.
I'm sorry, you're a close second, but I nearly passed out while she was doing me.
Is this going to work, Cal?
It works for me, I told her.
Work for you?
Better than I ever dreamed, she said. We've got to make it work for Syl, Calloway. We've just got to.
We went to pick Peyton up and by the time we got home, Sylvia had wine breathing and soft music playing. She met us at the door, held Peyton for a minute, gave me a quick kiss and melted Addie with a smoking hot one. I tucked my baby in bed, read two chapters of her book to her, kissed her, and we talked for a minute.
Are you okay, Dad? She asked.
Yeah, I think I'm ready to come out of my room now. I grinned at her.
Good,
she said.
I was getting worried there for a minute.
I know Mom and Aunt Addie are sorry for whatever happened.
Did you tell them you're sorry?
Yes, baby, but I'll tell them again, okay? She sat up and pulled me down for a kiss, smiled that beautiful smile at me and turned off her light. I was closing the door when I heard her say,
Love you, Daddy.
I love you too, Angel. I told her I closed the door and leaned against it for a minute, just taking a deep breath. Everything was looking up. When I got downstairs, the two hottest women in the southeast were waiting for me. My best friend since the fifth grade, and my wife, the most loving, smartest woman on earth. The only problem we had was Lucas. I knew the guy was an asshole. He started calling Sylvia and Addie and harassing them. They were perfectly capable of handling him, but he was a persistent son of a bitch. I heard he'd been bragging around about betting them, and how he was going to move into my bed and take over. I had a couple of my guys follow him and figure out his habits. He hung out at a raised bar and I was waiting outside when he left. I followed him to his place and when he pulled into his parking spot, I blocked him in. I got out and waited for him. He noticed me, and tried to get back in his car. He was fumbling around in the console and I slammed the door on him. He dropped the gun he was frantically trying to get out, and I pulled him out by the hair. We went at it, fist and skull. I'd like to say that I kicked his ass and didn't break a sweat, but the truth is, he was a tough bastard. He beat the hell out of me, but I had something he didn't, rage. I was boiling with rage. I remembered every sound he had wrung out of my wife, every arrogant word he had said and every phone call or text he had made to the women in my life, and I was going to kick his ass or die. I wore him down and proceeded to stomp him into the ground. I'm not a Navy SEAL or an MMA fighter, but I was a man with a righteous anger, and there's no stopping a guy like that without killing him. I left him a groaning wreck. I pulled him up by the hair, and he looked at me out of his swollen eyes. Mine weren't much better. Listen, good asshole. I snarled out of my sore mouth. When I heal up and you heal up, I'll be back. Every time you get better, I'm coming back to stomp a mud hole in your ass. I'm going to keep doing this for the rest of your life. Call the cops if you want. Have me arrested. The girls will bail me out, and I'll come back here and do you again. The only way to stop me is for you to head for parts unknown. As soon as you can crawl out of here, you better get going, because I'll be back in a couple of weeks. I spit in his face and gave him one more shot in the nose. Blood spurted and my hand hurt like hell. I slammed his face into his car, got in mine and drove home. The girls were horrified and babied me around for a week until I was better. I didn't have to go back. I heard he'd moved to Phoenix. I don't much care, as long as I never see him again. We did make it work. After 2 years, I came home from work today. Addie is taking a leave of absence. She's 8 months along and complaining about being fat and her ankles swelling. Sylvia treats her as if she's a priceless china vase. We found out last month that it's a boy. Peyton is going to have a little brother. Addison moved in with us just over a year ago, and our life has been amazing. I had to replace that bed in the spare bedroom. About once a week, they kick me out of my bed and have some girl time. I haven't held them to the anytime I want. Promise. About as often, one or the other of them spends the night in there and leaves me alone with the other one. Addie is careful to let Sylvia and me have alone time, too. She'll take Peyton and go somewhere for the weekend. I love my wife more than ever. Dinner was ready and my three girls met me at the door. The chubby one was groaning a little, and the other two helped her into the dining room. Sylvia is planning another baby, too, after this one gets a good start. Peyton has taken the changes in without a blink. I think she knows it's unusual, but she doesn't seem to care. Sometimes a guy needs a 2x4 alongside the head to wake him up. I never thought I'd enjoy the experience. Life surprises you. The end. You have been listening to this podcast on the Erotica Podcast Network. Please visit our other podcasts. Their links are in the description of this episode. The Erotica Podcast and the Erotica Taboo Podcast offer $2 subscriptions, which opens up bonus content.